During one of the halts, Aisha slipped away to relieve herself, and when she returned, found that she had mislaid her necklace. It had been a wedding gift from her mother, and she could not bear to lose it, so she went back to search for it. While she was gone, the men lifted her litter, duly shrouded with the hijab, onto her camel, assuming that she was safely inside, and the party moved off without her. Aisha was not too distressed when she discovered the deserted campsite, because she knew that it was only a matter of time before somebody missed her. She sat down to wait, and, sure enough, her old friend Safwan ibn al-Muattal, who had fallen behind the others, turned up and put her on the back of his own camel. When Aisha rejoined the expedition with Safwan, the old rumour about their illicit relationship started up again, and Muhammad's enemies gleefully imagined the worst. It was not surprising that Aisha had fallen for Safwan, Ibn Ubay remarked loudly, because he was so much younger and more attractive than her husband. The scandal rocked Medina, and the story seemed so plausible that some of the emigrants began to believe it, and even Abu Bakr, Aisha's father, began to suspect that it might be true. More seriously, Muhammad himself began to doubt Aisha's innocence, a telling sign of his waning confidence during this difficult period. For a few days, he seemed confused and uncertain. His need for Aisha was so great that, faced with the possibility of losing her, he seemed confused and hesitant. He no longer received any messages from God. It was the first time since the very beginning of his prophetic career that the divine voice had fallen silent. Ibn Ubay continued to exploit the situation, and old tribal hatreds flared as the Khazraj, Ibn Ubay's tribe, threatened to fight the Aus, who argued that the people who were stirring the scandal should be immediately executed. The situation was so grave that Muhammad was forced to summon all the chiefs of Medina to a meeting and ask for their support, should he find it necessary to take action against Ibn Ubay, who was threatening his family. Finally, Muhammad went to confront to Aisha, who had taken refuge in her parents' home. She had wept for 2 days, but her tears dried like magic as soon as her husband entered the house, and she faced him calmly. Muhammad urged her to confess her sin honestly. If she repented, God would forgive her. But with great dignity, the 14-year-old girl stood her ground and gazed steadfastly at her husband as she made her reply. There seemed little point in her saying anything at all, she said. She could not admit to something she had not done, and if she protested her innocence, nobody, not even her own parents, would believe her. She could only repeat the words of the prophet Jacob in the Quran, "Patience in adversity is most goodly in the sight of God, and it is to God alone that I pray to give me strength to bear the misfortune which you have described to me." She then turned silently and lay down on her bed.